Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Lions are here. TalkSport is the only place you'll hear live full match commentary of the British and Irish Lions versus South Africa. In the first test, live from Cape Town.
Try given!
This Saturday afternoon, exclusively on TalkSport.
On DAB+, online, via the TalkSport app and on your smart speaker.
Lions Daily on TalkSport 2.
Evening. How you doing? I'm Tim Cocker and this is the Lions Daily on TalkSport 2. And the big news today, Warren Gatland has named his side to take on South Africa on Saturday. Now, admittedly, that is a day earlier than originally planned. So over the next hour, we'll have plenty of reaction to the 23 players selected to face the Springboks. You're going to hear from Warren Gatland himself and Alan Wynne-Jones, the tour captain who will complete a miraculous return when he starts on Saturday. Remember, he dislocated his shoulder in the first warm-up match? Whatever, no big deal for Alan Wynne-Jones. Plus, we're going to be giving a voice to the fans across the British and Irish Isles who'll be, well, they will have been debating that Lions side for days and weeks, and now we have it. What do they think? No Josh Adams, three Scots in the 15, loads to get into. So we'll hear from the fans shortly. This is the Lions Daily on TalkSport 2, another big show on the way. Now, I'll be honest with you, I had a quiet moment in a darkened room on my own after yesterday's show. It was hectic. Brilliant, but hectic. If you listened, we had an hour where we spoke to England and Lions legend Will Greenwood among it. And as I was speaking to him and asking him his opinions on the squad, the 23-man squad was leaked by The Times. Got his opinion at the moment. Listen back to that. It was fun. Then we heard the news that the Lions have brought their team announcement forward to 10 a.m. today. So we now have the side. The Lions squad to take on South Africa is in the front row. Wynne-Jones, Luke Cowan-Dickie and Tadhg Furlong. In the second row, Maro Itoje, partnering Alan Wynne-Jones. In the back row, Courtney Laws, Tom Curry and Jack Conan. Not many people would have gone for that trio, I reckon. Ali Price has pipped Conor Murray to start nine. Dan Bigger at fly half. Centres of Robbie Henshaw and Elliot Daly, with Duane van der Merwe, Anthony Watson on the wings, with Stuart Hogg in the back three. The bench is Ken Owens, Rory Sutherland, Carl Sinclair, Tadhg Byrne, Hamish Watson, Conor Murray, Owen Farrell and Liam Williams. So to confirm, that is just one change from the side that was leaked yesterday evening, with Liam Williams on the bench instead of Ian Henderson. So one of the fascinating elements of that starting side when you look at it is it's the lack of game time some of the combinations have had. And Warren Gatland was asked about that earlier.
That wasn't our thinking at all. You know, we looked at the team and picked what we thought were, you know, the best team for the weekend. It was a robust debate. We're an hour and a half in selection. It was the hardest selection meeting I've ever been in. Asked the coaches to come along with their 23s, and we were all different. And I can say that, you know, we all had to compromise in terms of that and debate positions and selections, and that's the way it should be. And I know a lot of people sort of out there and think it's the team that I select, and it's never been the way, whether it's been with Wales or the Lions. It's important that as coaches we all have an input into the makeup of the squad, and it's the way that I've always done things. So I can tell you not one of the coaches got the 23 that they had come along to the meeting with. And I think that's credit to the players about how, even as coaches, you know, we were all thinking about different permutations and combinations as well, and what the makeup of the 23 looked like. So yeah, it was some long discussions. And just to give you an idea, I think in the forward pack we had this four of the same eight, and in the back line we only had three of the same seven between the five of us. So it's a great place to be in because there's so many players in the squad putting their hands up and making it difficult for us.
Lions head coach Warren Gatland talking about how tough the selection was after naming his 23-man squad to take on South Africa this Saturday. Commentary of that game and all the test matches on TalkSport, of course. Alfie Reynolds, TalkSport's Alfie Reynolds is with me. What do you make of that 23?
I think I'm still recovering, Tim, over the last day or so we've had here on the Lions Daily. I think the nature of this Lions squad is we can debate so many of the positions, and I'm really looking forward to getting some fans on in a short while and hearing what the fans have to say about this. So I think there's so many positions you can debate, but the squad has been so good. There's been so many strong performances that there aren't too many where I'm thinking, that's ridiculous, why has he done that? The only one that I kind of think that's really harsh and a big surprise to me is no Josh Adams. That, and I think, you know, a lot of people will mention that, but no Josh Adams and Duane van der Merwe, we mentioned it on the show. We have a few concerns about Duane van der Merwe defensively, but clearly, you know, he's been picked on what he can do.
Yeah, that's exactly. That seems to be a positive selection in the sense that they're going his upside, what he can do, outweighs any reservations you might have. I just hope maybe they can engineer a situation where Anthony Watson is the winger defending Cheslin Kolbe, and then when they're in attack, flip it over and have Duane van der Merwe running at Cheslin Kolbe. That'd work.
I'll be honest, I don't think it's as ridiculous as it sounds in that, look, of course they can't do it all the time, but I wouldn't be surprised if we see Watson trying to match up on Kolbe more from set piece moves and lineouts and scrums and things like where it's easier to potentially switch the wingers. I think they may well approach it in that way. But look, we'll wait and see. I think overall it's a strong squad. I think there's some bold calls in there as well, Tim. There's some quite differences from the teams that me and you picked. But a lot of those players have been picked on form. Some of them haven't been picked on form at all, really. And it's maybe more credit in the bank. So it's a fascinating team.
And just to very quickly pick up on what Warren Gatland was answering a question about there. He was asked about the combinations and lack of game time. And just to put that in perspective, the back three, Hogg, Watson, Duane, have never played as a trio on the tour, or ever, clearly. The halfbacks of Ali Price and Dan Bigger have never played together. Wyn Jones, Luke Cowan-Dickie and Tyge Furlong, the front row, have never played as a three. And the back row, Courtney Laws, Jack Conan and Tom Curry, have never played as a three. So Warren Gatland was not joking when he said a little bit earlier in the tour he's not going to show his hand before the first test.
And also, how much did we hear him talk about looking at combinations and seeing how people go and things like that? And I don't think that he was completely lying there, but equally, it's maybe not as important as maybe we were looking at it, because I think we were looking at that and saying, right, so these people are playing together, how has that worked? When it was Farrell at 12 and Bigger at 10, I mean, of course they would have analysed that and seen how it went, but I think it's fair to say it wasn't as big a steer on selection as we maybe thought it was going to be.
Yeah, and clearly, and we have been said, and lots of people have pointed out, that the opposition they've faced, with the exception of a pretty fully loaded Springbok A side, has not been at that same level. And so clearly, I think a lot of these decisions have been made with the training that they've done on their own.
Yeah, and it says a lot as well that Warren Gatland said it today. He said it in the clip we just heard, and we've also heard a number of the other coaches over the last few days say it's the hardest selection that they've been involved in. I think that reveals an awful lot. And maybe this is one of those Lions squads, Tim, and it's probably coincidence more than anything else, but there aren't too many players that are absolutely nailed on to start. There's an awful lot up for debate and players that they could have chosen but they haven't been able to, which I think is just a dynamic of this particular Lions tour.
Yeah, I think you were right to point out Josh Adams is one you instantly sort of feel he'll feel hard done by. Ian Henderson as well.
Yeah.
I feel for him because he still hasn't got a test start, and he must have been thinking this was his moment. And well, it's a three test series, so we'll see. But just one final word. Elliot Daly and Jack Conan, they're big stories because they went from not being in many people's squads pre-tour to starting the first test. That is amazing.
Yeah, it's brilliant. And they've both played so well. Again, going back to the whole who he's picked on form, though, those are two that have absolutely got on that tour. And then their form has warranted a place in the test team. We've documented Elliot Daly in particular quite a bit on the show about how, you know, we didn't necessarily think his form warranted it, but he's been absolutely brilliant. And Jack Conan as well at number eight. Again, most people would have had Faletau going into the tour, at least, would have had Faletau as their number eight.
Yeah, just to emphasise how good the squad is, though, I reckon if Warren Gatland had just chucked all the names into a tombola, given it a spin and then picked them out at random, it still would have gone, oh yeah, that's a pretty decent team.
Yeah, I'm not going to name names, but I think there's only a couple that you'd say they shouldn't be near a test team. Do you know what I mean? That there's only a couple in that squad that you would say, yeah, they probably haven't done enough. Everyone else is genuinely in the mix for selection, I think.
That's either you being cowardly or just really nice.
Well, I'm being nice. Listen, yeah. It's the positives today, Tim. It's about who has been selected.
Absolutely. And talking of the positives, Alan Wynne-Jones, he's going to be captaining the Lions this weekend and will become the first player of the professional era to play in 10 test matches. And he told TalkSport that it means so much to him to be involved on Saturday, having returned from injury.
Pretty whistle stop for me since I spoke to Gats and some of the management about being involved on Saturday, literally off the plane, because we hadn't really got that far, obviously, because you know, the timelines had moved forward a little bit. So I was fortunate enough to get the game time on the Saturday and put myself in contention. So to be sitting here now and involved in the test, because everything I've worked for really over the last, you know, I'd be lying if I say it was 2 years. It's probably 4 years. Obviously, when you finish a series or a tour, you don't know whether you're going to do an next one, and a lot of games go under the bridge, as it were. So to be sitting here now, you know, is a very, very special thing. But like I say, it's only a very short step towards what's going to be hopefully a very enjoyable week.
You can hear a bit of emotion with AWJ there, couldn't you?
I think one of the really nice things about it is Alan Wynne-Jones, what was it, 148 appearances for his country. He's played at World Cups. He's captained them to Six Nations titles. He's been on numerous Lions tours, but it still means so much to him. I think that's the really nice thing there. There would have been a lot of players that I think would have been gutted to miss out had they, you know, picked up that injury, but they'd probably look at their career and say, do you know what? I've had a really good run, and maybe it wouldn't quite have the impact on them emotionally as some others. But Alan Wynne-Jones there, I mean, he is delighted to be back in that team.
Yeah, I suppose, as he sort of said, he's had this tour in his mind for 4 years, and the carrot dangling in front of him, this Lions series and another chance at history, would have kept him going on those dark nights down at the Liberty Stadium, is it, in Swansea for the Ospreys? Those times when there's no crowds, those times when his body's starting to ache a little bit. But fair play, what an absolutely what an epic story that is. And just to point out as well, he'll be partnering Maro Itoje, and they started together in the second and third tests in New Zealand. So there's one combination that have got some time under their belt together.
Yeah, no, exactly. I think they were brilliant as well in New Zealand, yeah. The pair of them. I'm still intrigued with Alan Wynne-Jones. To me, look, I completely trust in the medical staff and the coaching staff that they are very comfortable Alan Wynne-Jones coming and slotting in. It's a very different proposition starting against South Africa in the first test of a Lions series than coming off the bench against the Stormers on the weekend. I'm still interested to see how he goes on the weekend.
Well, whatever selection Warren Gatt would have made in the second row, because there were so many worthy contenders, there would have been, if it doesn't go well on Saturday, there'll be lots of Monday morning quarterbacks who have 2020 vision retrospectively. But that's why Warren Gatland is there to make those big calls. And on this one, it's hard to doubt the credentials. So there we go. There's plenty to talk about. It's the Lions Daily on TalkSport 2 with the famous grouse, the spirit of rugby, 18+. Be drink aware. Commentary of the whole tour and all three of these massive test matches between the Lions and South Africa on TalkSport, where next we're going to be joined by fans from across the British Isles and Ireland to get their reaction to Warren Gatland's side for this first test.
There's some quality in this squad, and you know, the guys who are going to be playing, I think, are going to be very thankful. The guys who are missing out are going to be very unlucky.
My starting front row and team would be Makovinopola, Luke Cowan-Dickie, Tag Furlong. If he's fit, Alan Wynne-Jones and Maro Itoje. I'd actually go Courtney Laws at 6. I'd go Tom Curry at 8, and I'd have Hamish Watson at 7.
I would love to have seen Curry and Watson actually play left and right during some of those build-up games.
I think he goes big game beast at 9, Conor Murray. And he goes with Dan Bigger. Me, personally, I stick Henshaw in. Elliot Daly's could play his way in with his left peg.
With Liam and Hoggy at the back. You know, they're both unbelievable players, probably up there with the best in the world in their positions. The same with the wing when you've got Dewey, Josh and Zamo.
We've talked about this being a squad effort throughout the whole campaign, throughout the whole tour.
It's not just a starting 15, but the guys coming off the bench are going to have a significant impact, and they need to have an impact.
What do it. What does anyone know when it comes to trying to predict a Lions side? Well, with this Lions tour, we don't have the travelling sea of red, but here on Lions Daily, we try and give a voice to the fans, let you have your say. And frankly, there's no better time to hear from the fans than after Warren Gatland has named his side for the first test earlier today. Some big calls in there. So let's get straight to the fans. And well, firstly, TalkSport 2's Jeremy Fulham is with me in the studio. How you doing, Jez?
I'm good, Tim. Good to make my my triumphant return to Lions Daily.
That accent gives away his Irish leaning. And I need to stress that, because some people at work might have been confused, because the other week you were wearing an Italy football shirt. So
yeah, basking in it. You told me not to wear it on Sunday, and I did, actually.
Yeah. Right, let me also welcome on Di, a proud Welshman. How you doing, Di?
How's it going? You all right?
I'm very well. And Andy, Scotland fan. Andy.
Hi, Tim.
Hiya. Now, guys, we've got every corner of our fine lands represented right now. Let's all be respectful and keep the camaraderie going. Let's celebrate as well. And I want you to feel like you can just chip in at any time. So, but I'll come to you firstly, Jez. Your reaction to Warren Gatland's squad. I know you've got a bias in this camp because you're a mate of Jack Conan's.
Yeah, Jack Conan was on my team in school. I mentioned this a few weeks ago when I was chatting with Hannah Wilkes. So delighted for Jack. He's had a difficult few years with injury. He was, you know, barely in the Ireland setup come the start of the year. Only got into towards the end due to a concussion to Caelan Doris at number 8. Played excellently against England and hasn't really put a foot wrong since. And I'm delighted for him. He's, you know, a lot of people were surprised to see him included. Talupe Faletau would have been the obvious choice for many at number 8, given his experience on previous tours. But every chance Conan's been given on tour so far, he's taken it. And, you know, he's obviously doing something right in training and something better than Simmons and Faletau. So, yeah, delighted for him.
Yeah.
However, from another Irish point of view, the one I was not surprised at all was to see Conor Murray on the bench. I don't think he's impressed me too much this tour.
Fair, absolutely fair points, both. Andy, I've got to speak to you, fella. I mean, there are more Scottish players in the 23 for this game than went on the entire tour last time out. How are you feeling?
I'm very chuffed to have 3 for the test team and 2 on the bench. I thought Amos should have been picked instead of Curry. His stats are much better.
Oh, so come on, you're moaning. You've got record numbers for a while, and it's still not enough. He's on the bench, and it's Tom Curry.
He's on the bench, yeah, but I think Curry should have been on the bench.
Come on, he's Tom Curry. I'm going to stick up for Tom Curry on that one. Have you seen the man? He's an absolute beast, and we're playing against South Africa. So I actually look at this like if they need to come up with something. Pull a rabbit out of a hat with 20 minutes to go. Hamish Watson's the kind of guy that can come on and have a big moment, get a penalty from a turnover, or just have an explosive break. I think that's exactly how it could work.
Hamish Watson is someone who ups the tempo when people are feeling a little bit tired and things have slowed down a bit. I mean, it's a test match and, you know, it might get a bit flat 60, 50 minutes in. Hamish Watson's someone who comes on with 20 minutes to go and makes a big explosive inclusion. And, you know, Eddie Jones uses the word all the time. He's a finisher.
Mm. And Di, when you look at the people excluded or missed out, Jez has already mentioned Talupe Faletau, but Josh Adams as well. How are you feeling today? Mixed emotions?
Yeah, I am, to be fair. I think when you look at the forwards, I do think they picked themselves. I think that is a pretty good selection with it. I know I did think Hamish Watson would be in. I did think he would be in there over Courtney Laws, to be fair. But you can see what he's going for with that back row. It's power there. He's really going for power plays there and strong runners. With Faletau, I thought he would get it with his experience. But on form, Conan's definitely ahead of him on form. I'm not sure if Faletau was quite back to the Faletau that we've known from years before. I know he had a good Six Nations and everything, but he still felt slightly off the pace from what you'd expect. And so that's no real biggie. The big ones for me is the back three. I expected to see Adams in there, and I expected to see Reece Samet as well, just purely because of his finishing.
I can understand. I'm going to play devil's advocate on that one. I thought Lewis Reece Samet was exposed a little bit in previous games. Was it the Springbok A game? I think it was. Yeah, it was. You suddenly saw that he's a 20-year-old who's only been playing senior rugby for a couple of years. He's an absolute generational talent. Don't get me wrong, but I think at this level, he should soak up every bit of experience he can from this tour, and he'll be blinding on the next one. But I do. He would make me nervous going up against a world champion Springbok side at this stage. I don't know if anyone else wants to chip in on that one or the back three in general. Did everyone think Josh Adams? Andy, I'll jump to you.
Yeah, I had Josh Adams and Van der Meer with Hoggy at 15.
Hoggy at 15. That's a lovely story as well, isn't it? After the bad luck he's had last couple of tours.
See him get a test jersey.
Yeah. Well, hold on. We've got a couple of days yet. He needs to stay away from Conor Murray's elbows. That's what he needs to do.
See, that's the thing, isn't it? Whatever happens with this test, I think there's a good chance we could see a completely different second test. How many people are going to take bumps in this one and they're not going to take part for the rest of the tour? So it's going to be interesting to see what it looks like at the end of this game and what we're looking at for the next two tests.
It is a fair shout. I'm just going to pick up on the back row thing because I think it was Di, you mentioned that he's gone for power. And Will Greenwood yesterday, who was on the line when the leaked team came out, so we got his initial raw thoughts, unfiltered. And he said, I'm not sure about the back row. It feels like he's picked something a bit too one-dimensional. Jez, do you think that's a fair comment?
No, I listened to that clip this morning and I quite disagreed. I'm going to go back to Jack Conan because there's someone I know his game very well. His footwork before contact is very, very good, and he isn't someone who just always tries to run through South Africa. And one thing we know about South Africa is, I think it was a famous quote from Sarina McGeachan, you're not going to beat South Africa by running at them. They'll put up a brick wall, so you're going to have to find ways to run around them and run through them. So be clever with them. So I think Gatland's as cute as most people. He's going to know that if he just picks a pack that are just going to run into South Africa, he's going to go nowhere. So I think he's picked the right pack there. I would actually have gone for Tyke Byrne, though. This is not me being country biased. It might sound like it is, but I don't really care. I think he's had an excellent tour. He's looked very, very assured in the line-out. He's a very shrewd carrier. And he's very good over the ball as well. So I was quite surprised to see Courtney Laws be picked at number six.
I'd say for Courtney Laws, if there's one person you would sort of send into battle, if you were doing it gladiator style and you just could just send one man in, I'd send in Courtney Laws.
Gatland does love him as well.
Yeah, he really does.
It's the tackling as well, is it? Let's be fair with Courtney Laws. He absolutely smashes people in that defence. If they're going to be running them around the fringes, he will absolutely nail them, which is what South Africa like to do to people themselves. So I feel he is going up against him with that, of proving a bit of power. But I agree again with Jack Conan. I'm a big fan of his. I think his ball handling is brilliant. For such a big guy, there's no way he's a one-dimensional player. You just have to look at the highlights of him from the Pro 14. Yeah. He's absolutely brilliant at offloading the ball. I think the guy deserves a shout. And I know I've thought it'd be Faletau, and I would have wanted it to be Faletau, but I don't think this is a downgrade. I definitely don't, because he's that good a player.
Very clever trail runner as well.
It's a fair shout. Andy, mate, if I come back to you, like we know you wanted Hamish Watson in, but back row. But aside from that, back row thoughts?
Yeah, I like Ali Price at number nine. He's done a lot better during the tour than Conor Murray. He seems to be out of sorts at the moment. I've Dan Bigger. I'm happy with him as well.
I'm glad you brought up Ali Price. I should have mentioned that one because that came out of nowhere as well. If you go early in the tour, people wouldn't have had him on the radar, and that is a selection on form. Now, while I've got all three of you gentlemen here, and in my capacity as a proud Englishman, can I just ask you all, why do you hate Owen Farrell?
I like him.
You've all gone quiet now.
I know the general consensus is for rival fans in England to hate Owen Farrell, but I quite like him because he's the archetypal English player, because he's northern and he's quite hard.
Well, you can.
I was going to say the list is easier to say what do you like about Owen Farrell.
No, seriously, this is one that bugs me. He's on the bench, fair enough, but I just don't understand. You go on Twitter or you see online, you see the reaction of a lot of fans. There's just this palpable dislike of the guy, and he's an incredible rugby player. Can you try and justify it to me?
He's one dimensional. He's always set in his ways.
Oh. Andy, I see, yeah. Go on, Andy. Oh, sorry, not Andy. Sorry, go on, Di. Beg your pardon.
I think he's the quintessential English fly off, isn't he, really?
Good.
You're not going to get any flair. You're not going to see, like, your Cipriani. There's no maverick there. It's like what you got with Rob Andrew, like you got with Grayson, like what you got with Johnny Wilkinson. Passes and kicks to a really, really high standard.
Yep.
And does the basics well, which is what English rugby's always been about in the 10 position. So in that sense, he's brilliant with it.
Do you know what you also get with Owen Farrell? You get a three-time Lions tourist, nearly 100 caps, three European titles, five Premiership titles, European Player of the Year. You get former Lions captains like Paul O'Connell, showering in with praise. You get Eddie Jones, Mark McCall, Stuart Lancaster, Warren Gatland, some of the most respected coaches and DORs in the game, all rating him and picking him.
So what else you get? You get a lot of questionable tackles.
Yeah.
Well, let me change subject. That's quite enough of that. Gents, thanks ever so much for your time. Really appreciate it and enjoy the game Saturday.
Thank you very much.
Cheers, thanks very much.
Nice one. And commentary of that game, of course, here on TalkSport. Build-up gets underway from 4 p.m. and commentary from 5 p.m, which is the kickoff for the British and Irish Lions in South Africa. Test number one. It's going to be massive. It's the Lions Daily on TalkSport 2 with the famous grouse, the spirit of rugby, 18+, be drink aware. Next, we're going to compare the Lions side we've just been talking about with the South Africans that will be waiting.
Lions Daily on TalkSport 2.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
On DAB+, online, via the TalkSport app, and on your smart speaker. Lions Daily on TalkSport 2.
Alan Wynne-Jones, Ospreys, Wales.
7 minutes played, and the captain is down, and we're talking about Alan Wynne-Jones. We're talking about 148 Wales caps. 7 Lions test caps as a starter, plus 2 more as a replacement.
Initial tour captain Alan Wynne-Jones will return to play with the squad after recovering from a shoulder injury.
When you look at world rugby's captains and guys that sort of will stand the test of time and we'll still be talking about in 40, 50 years' time, there's very few of them, and he's right up there.
It is incredible. It shows the measure of the man.
He must have been involved, I would say, in about 12 tackles then as a second man. So if there was any concerns about his shoulder, he's just thrown it into 12 separate contact. I saw him trying to compete for the ball. He's shouting at other players to get up off the floor. It looks like he's in a good place.
It's Lions Daily. I'm Tim Cocker, and TalkSport's Alfie Reynolds. Is that the music from The Dark Knight Rises?
Yeah, well, there's something of a superhero figure about Alan Wynne.
No, there certainly is. That's a nice choice, that, mate. What a story it is. Alan Wynne-Jones looking out of the tour, and his Lions well, a very glittering story Lions career, looking like it had come to an end on day one. And here he is, captaining as we go into a test series. And yeah, we've had a lot of the focus on purely the Lions selection. That was the big news today, with Warren Gatland naming his 23-man squad. But let's just kind of integrate the Springbok side that was named yesterday. And I'll tell you what we're going to do, Alfie. We're going to go shirt by shirt, unit by unit, and we're just going to kind of compare and contrast and just see who we'd pick if we could make a combined side out of the two 15s.
Yeah, we know where we stand now, don't we? We all the kind of rumours and debate is over to a degree. We know the 23-man squads for both sides, and it's always interesting looking which players would get in the other, you know, if you were combining them, you know, how good are each of these squads? So we thought we'd go through and have a little look.
I think this will be quite revealing into the areas of strength or weakness. I don't look many weaknesses across the two teams, but nevertheless, let's start in the front row then.
All right, well, starting with South Africa, you've got Oxenche, Bongi Mbonambi and Trevor Niakane. So that's for the South Africans. For the Lions, Wyn Jones, Luke Cowan-Dickey and Tyg Furlong.
If I had to take them purely as a three,
yeah,
I never thought I would say this going into a test match against South Africa. I'd take that Lions front row.
And I think I would agree with you.
Which, that's quite something. Although I'm going to caveat that and say, and this is maybe an element we need to watch for in the game, and it's why I think the Lions probably need to be ahead when we go towards 50, 60 minutes, is if I could pick any front row unit, I would pick the replacement South African front row unit of Stephen Kitsoff, Malcolm Marx and Frans Malherb. I think that is the most frightening and devastating front row that is available to either of the sides.
I think it's arguably the most fascinating selection in that Springboks team is their replacement front row. I think most people would say is better than their starting front row. So let's just compare that with the Lions for a moment. Ken Owens, Rory Sutherland and Kyle Sinclair, given that those are the two front rows once the replacements are made that will be going up against each other. South Africa is surely going to have the edge there, you would have thought.
You would think so. If you had to pick the whole six of each, and we're not just comparing the... Because the modern game is that these guys will play, that the replacements will play close to half a game, tends to be the way. So if you had to pick a six as a unit, and you could only pick the Lions or South Africa, which six would you go for?
As a six, I'd probably take the Lions.
You see, as a six, I'm that frightened of the replacements that I would probably take South Africa as a six unit. So actually, the fact that we're talking in those kind of terms suggests that maybe the Lions might have more parity than perhaps pre-tour we might have imagined they would.
And also another point is Warren Gatland has reiterated today when speaking to the media how important the bench is. It kind of shows it, doesn't it? We've got the starting 15s, but then we've got all sorts of matchups on the bench that are going to be crucial as well.
Yeah. Into the second row then. And who have we got?
So let's start with the Lions this time. Mauro Itoje and Alan Wynne-Jones. And then for South Africa, Eben Etzebeth and Franco Mostert. That is world class through that, isn't it? For both sides.
I mean, Lou Diaga on the bench for South Africa as well. And you've got guys like RG Snyman that aren't even in the squad. Okay, well, I think he's not fit, is he? But nevertheless, if I had to choose, I would go Mauro Itoje and Eben Etzebeth as my pair.
Yeah, agreed, if we were able to mix the squads.
So one of each?
One of each. If you were having to select the starting pair, I'd go for South Africa, I think.
I think I agree with you.
It's close though, isn't it?
It's very,
again,
very
it's
close.
Really close.
In fact, Mauro Itoje is that much of a big game player. He might edge it for me, actually. Anyway, back row.
So the back row for the Springboks is Siya Kolisi, the captain, coming back in. Peter Steph De Toey and Quagga Smith. And for the Lions, it's Courtney Laws, Tom Curry and Jack Conan.
Okay. Peter Steph De Toey would be in... He's in the World 15.
Agreed.
In the back row. And I think Tom Curry would be the other flanker in a World 15 right now.
That is a good shout, to be fair.
So I think it would be the two of them, because South Africa play with the number six, the open side wears six and the blind side wears seven. So they'd be a perfect pair of flankers for you. And I think I would go with the Lions back row as a three, though, as incredible as Peter Steph De Toey is, Quagga Smith is a small, diminutive number eight. He's a powerful, quick guy, don't get me wrong, but he's not Dwayne Vermaelen.
He's not. And yeah, if it was a choice between Jack Conan and Quagga Smith, I would pick Jack Conan at this moment in time. Yeah. But I still look at that Springboks back row as a and just the Dutoy and Khaleesi on the flanks. I rate Laws and Curry so much better. If we're just looking at the flankers, I'd be tempted to nudge towards the Springboks. But then Khaleesi, we haven't actually seen much of him, have we? And he has had COVID and things.
But I get what you're saying. I think Peter Steph Dutoy is arguably the best player in the world, certainly best forward in the world. So yeah. Let's move into the back. So actually, I'd say it's fairly honours even across that pack, which I think that's a really good sign for the Lions.
I do think it'd be really different if their replacement front row was their front row. Do you know what I mean? That would swing the whole pendulum. Maybe Razi Erasmus and Jacques Nianba are kind of looking at it as that's going to be some real power coming off the bench. But that maybe would change things. But into the backs then. So we have Ali Price and Dan Bigger as the 9 and 10 for the Lions. And then Faf de Klerk and Andre Pollard for South Africa.
So I would take, of the two, I'd take Faf de Klerk and Dan Bigger. So
yeah,
one of each.
Agreed.
Great. Brilliant. So that's interesting. So again, we'll talk to Ross Hamilton, our stats man, our performance analyst.
Performance analyst.
That's the words I was looking for.
I like the stats man, though.
Stats man. We should get the little scat man music.
No. Exactly.
Let me move on. So it'll be interesting to hear how he thinks the Lions and South Africa will play, whether it'll be off 9 or off 10, because possibly South Africa will play more off Faf de Klerk and the Lions will play more off Dan Bigger, perhaps.
Yeah, maybe. It'd be very interesting to speak to Ross in terms of what his analysis is telling him for those positions. Should we go into the centres?
Let's
do you want
to
do centres? Okay, so for South Africa, we've got Damian Dialande and I've lost my sheet. Lekanyoam, isn't it? Dialande and Lekanyoam. And then for the Lions, Robbie Henshaw and Elliot Daly.
This is what I picked for the Lions beforehand. This is the pair I wanted in the centre, so I'm pleased about that. Nonetheless, I'm picking both of those South Africans. Lekanyoam's been absolutely class. Robbie Henshaw is incredible. He's been injured and he's only easing his way back into form. So on that basis, I would pick the two of them, although it's tight. But yeah, that's quite a frightening area for South Africa, potentially.
I agree. I feel, you know, with Henshaw, had we seen more of him and he not had the injury worries, then I think he'd be in the conversation more for if you were looking at a combined 15. But certainly at the moment, yeah, I would probably be tempted to go towards the Springboks. Back three is fascinating, Tim, I think.
Yeah, well, Cheslin Kolbe gets in your in a world 15 and he would get in a combined side, surely.
Yep. So we've got Cheslin Kolbe, Mapimpi is back in for South Africa as well. And then Willie LaRue at fullback. And then Duane van der Merwe, Anthony Watson, Stuart Hogg for the Lions.
So if I was picking a combined side, I would go Watson, Kolbe, Hogg.
Same.
So that's two Lions in a back three.
Yeah, but the thing is, you know, as a combination, though, that South Africa team, they're so good, aren't they? Heading into the World Cup final, looking at, was it Johnny May and Watson? Were they the wingers for England? Like you maybe wouldn't have had too much to choose between them comparing them with South Africa, but we saw how that game turned out. So who knows what's going to happen? But I think the point here, Tim, is it seems maybe a little bit more even than we perhaps thought it would have been.
Yeah, and that is, I'm coming off the back of that feeling very encouraged, actually, and not fearing what South Africa bring as much as I'm now excited about the damage that the Lions could do. So bring on Saturday, mate.
It's teed up nicely, isn't it? It's set up really, really nicely. And I think also, Tim, there's a bigger element of an unknown with this Lions tour. The unknown of the games now all happening in Cape Town, does that give an advantage to the Lions?
Yes,
the
100%.
And then the unknown of there not being the fans or the travelling sea of red, but also the South African fans. South Africa haven't played much. There are so many question marks, I think, that, as I say, I think it's teed up really nicely for that first test on Saturday.
It really is. You're listening to the Lions Daily on TalkSport 2 with the famous Grouse, the spirit of rugby, 18+, be drink aware. And we're going to go into that Lions camp next.
Doesn't change anything. You know, if they want to name their team early, then crack on. You know, it doesn't change what we do. I don't see it as a massive deal, if I'm honest.
We just felt that, listen, moving it earlier or probably easier to get it out of the way.
I've just seen on the Times Twitter feed, has filed an exclusive of what he thinks the Lions team will be.
I would be chuffed if there are three Scots, because it's what the Lions is all about.
Well, it was a robust debate. We're an hour and a half in selection. It was the hardest selection meeting I've ever been in.
Daily on TalkSport 2, and yeah, here we are again, arguing over a Lions side. I've been waiting 4 years for this. Let the arguments rage in pubs and front rooms across the land. And that was just a few of the voices who've had their say on the Lions Daily in the last few days. And today, Warren Gatland named his 23-man squad to take on South Africa. And remember, here is the place to get commentary of the match. Well, TalkSport, actually. But across the TalkSport network, we've got you back on all of it. On TalkSport on Saturday afternoon from 4 o'clock, we'll have build-up. 5 p.m. the kickoff for that massive first test in Cape Town. And it might not be the same atmosphere around the Lions Tour this year, but we'll be around the country, including with our reporter, Nick Keith. He'll be at the Standoff Pub in Exeter. Alfie Reynolds, that's the pub owned by Gareth Steenson, right?
Yes, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Brilliant. And Nick will have alongside him some players well known to Exeter Chiefs fans, Carl Rimmer and current player Tom Hendrickson as well. And that is just a small part of the coverage we have got planned for the first test. Now, one thing we haven't heard from Warren Gatland on so far is his team being leaked to the press, which happened yesterday during Lions Daily. He said he was disappointed that was the case.
I don't know how that happened. It wasn't 100% right, but obviously someone's leaked that out. Whether that's on purpose or accidentally, or someone's betrayed someone's trust, you know, whether that's a player or a staff member. So what I'll do next week is just name the team to the players and then name the team to the press straight away.
Not a happy man, Warren Gatland, and rightly so as well. Yeah, that took the kind of wind out of the sails a little bit from the Lions. The fact that, particularly when you compare it to South Africa, who was so assertive in naming their side 2 days early.
Yes, Warren Gatland would have been fuming, wouldn't he?
Yeah, I think that's safe to say.
He'd been absolutely fuming, and I do wonder what the mood is like within the camp at the moment. I mean, I'm not saying it's bad, but you just feel like clearly it wasn't what they were planning. South Africa made quite a big deal about naming their squad early. We were speculating of whether that was any sort of mind games. They said it wasn't. It was just the players knew, so we may as well tell everyone else about it. And it's proved to be a really good move as well, hasn't it? Because as we've seen with the Lions, all of a sudden the players get told. Somehow it's been leaked out. It was out in the Times yesterday, and then they've had to bring forward the squad announcement by a day. So it's a little bit messy for the Lions.
Well, albeit there was one change. In the leaked side on the bench, there was Ian Henderson. Now there's Liam Williams. Here's my theory. I reckon Warren Gatland might have done a Game of Thrones thing where I think it was Tyrion Lannister in Game of Thrones. He gave different bits of information to different people.
Yes.
to try and find out who the spy in the camp is.
That's a very... I was wondering, when you said Game of Thrones, I was wondering what reference you were going for, Tim. That's one of the more niche ones. But yeah, absolutely right. I quite like that.
Yeah, not only a Rugby Norse, Game of Thrones as well, if you like. That's fine. Now let's hear from the captain. He's been chatting with Andrew McKenna, Warren Gatland about the captain. And while Warren Gatland was chatting to Andrew McKenna, Macca asked him about Alan Wynne-Jones, captain in the side, and about his leader.
Alan Wynne will become the first player of the pro era to play 10 Lions Test matches. What does that say about him?
That he's old. he's been around for a while. Yeah, look, that's a fantastic, achievement for anyone. You know, not just playing your first test match, but to play 10. So, it's a fantastic, and I just think it shows what he's been as a player. But I have to say, for not just for Alan Wynne, but for this whole squad, being out here and playing for the Lions, it means a huge amount to them. And to see someone like who was desperate to get back and to rehab and to want to be out here to represent the Lions again, it just shows a lot about him as a person, but also what the Lions means to Alan Wynne, and not just to him, but to everybody.
Warren Gatland speaking about his captain, Alan Wynne-Jones. I didn't know Warren Gatland had those very dry one-liners in him. That was very funny. What does it mean? What does it mean that Alan Wynne-Jones is playing again? He's old. Love it.
I think it's the second time on tour, Tim. Haven't we had a press conference where Warren Gatland has made a joke? And then he's kind of laughed at his own joke, and I'm absolutely here for it. I think it's absolutely hilarious. And his comic timing's quite good as well. That long pause there, you were looking at me all of a sudden thinking, is this interview still playing? Yeah, no, it was good stuff from Warren Gatland today. Also, I believe I'm correct in saying from our reporters who were completely across the press conference that it was the first smile from Warren Gatland at that line and that question from Macca there. As you can imagine, with the team being leaked and everything, not necessarily the happiest of men probably going into having to do his media duties today, but that brought a little smile to him, so that's good to see.
And good on you, Macca, for that as well. Well, let's hear from the captain himself then. Alan Wynne, he explained that he leapt at the chance of a possible return to the squad after getting injured in that first warm-up game against Japan.
To be honest with you, there weren't many thoughts I could probably share with you, but it was a quick couple of phone calls to get all the apparatus I needed to start the recovery ready for the next day. And, you know, I made sure I didn't dwell on that and the situation for too long. It was about being proactive and starting the recovery. And, you know, that's what I did. And I guess that's why I'm here.
That's why Alan Wynne-Jones is there. What an absolute warhorse of a man. And that's the story he's now created for himself in the last couple of months. When you add that to the story that he's created over his whole career through his actions, it's going to be someone you would follow into battle. And on an occasion like this, one of the biggest occasions in rugby union for years, since the Rugby World Cup, this it's massive that he's there.
Yeah, and providing he gets through the game, maybe even not if he gets through the game, maybe it's already cemented, but I think this will be an iconic Lions moment, almost regardless of what happens in the Test series. Alan Wynne-Jones dislocating his shoulder in 7 minutes into the first warm-up game, recovering in a couple of weeks to get back to captain the side in the first Test in South Africa. It is the stuff of movies, isn't it? I just hope he goes well. I'm sure he will be. I'm sure he's absolutely primed. And it was interesting to hear him there, Tim, in terms of how emotional he is and also how dark a moment that probably was for him when after the Japan game he saw the whole squad that he was supposed to be the captain of flying off to South Africa without him, a couple of dark days, then hearing he might be able to get back in time. He's like, right, let's go. He does it, absolutely everything that he could do to be out there, and he's got his just rewards.
Well, the thing about the Lions that you see from the documentaries, you hear from players, is that it takes you to places that you've never been before psychologically as much as anything, and you get to some dark places. And I'm sure being confronted with the possible reality that his Lions days were over means he's going to grasp that chance even more and be inspirational for the side. I'll tell you what, before we round up today's Lions Daily, let's hear from Warren Gatland on one of the real positive stories from his Lions side: the resurgence of Scotland as a rugby team, and with the strides they're making, getting so many players in his matchday squad.
The important thing is about, yeah, there's been improvement, but then it's about also making sure you continue winning those big games, and that's what really matters. And then hopefully winning titles, and players knowing how to win in finals or win in grand slams or win championships and stuff, and that's when you're able to take your team to the next level. And I think they're in the process at the moment, the mid process of developing some depth and some real depth in their squad, and then hopefully they're able to continue to build on that. And that's the thing and the challenge for Scotland going forward. But they've definitely made improvements over the last 4 or 5 years. There's no doubt about that.
Warren Gatland talking about Scotland and the strides that they have made. 5 men in the 23-man squad to take on South Africa, more than actually toured with the Lions 4 years ago. Alfie, it's some story, isn't it?
Yeah, and it is a big story. We could be flippant about this, can't we? But I think for Scotland and for Scotland fans, over the last couple of decades, there probably has been a little bit of being a little bit alienated from the Lions because there hasn't been that Scottish contingent. And we heard Warren Gatland there. He spoke about it at the squad announcement as well, that he wants to see players and how they play under pressure. I think it was 4 years before that. Do you remember when Scotland went to Twickenham in the Six Nations? They were on a great run of form and they came up against England. I think England put 60 points on them. And I know Warren Gatland's spoken about that moment as he looked at that and how those players dealt with pressure. And it was a part of the reason of why there wasn't a big Scottish contingent in his Lions squad. That's changed now. Scotland have changed, and you look at the players in that team, and you look at the influence of the coaching group as well, which is a reflection of how well Scotland is doing as a nation. And for all of us, I think it's great. Will Greenwood was saying the same yesterday, wasn't he? That he would be delighted if the league team, which it turns out was correct. And it's great to see those Scottish players in there.
Yeah, and it probably says everything about where Scotland have got themselves. That Andy, our Scotland fan who was having a chat earlier, when I said, you've got 3 guys in the squad, how good? He's like, no, I wanted 4. Where's Hamish Watson in the starting
side? First thing he said.
Brilliant, I love it. This is the Lions Daily on TalkSport 2 with the famous Grouse, the spirit of rugby, 18+, be drink aware. And thank you very much for listening today. Don't forget, you can listen in podcast form. You can listen again on the TalkSport app or go and subscribe wherever you get your podcast. And TalkSport will have commentary of every test match between South Africa and the British and Irish Lions. The first test kicks off at 5 p.m. on Saturday. Next on TalkSport 2, Sports Bar Daily.
on DAB+, online, via the TalkSport app and on your smart speaker.
Lions Daily on TalkSport 2.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.